With you this morning, the first scripture we're going to be looking at this morning is in the book of Luke, chapter 2. Being as this is our Christmas service, I wanted to give you some food for thought. And I want to start by sharing this little illustration here. It's a time of great rejoicing in the palace. For a prince has been born, and near the throne there's a lively discussion going on as the king's advisors are making suggestions concerning the best way to announce the wonderful news. They have suggestions, some elaborate ways to publicize, to celebrate this great event. All but one have expressed their opinions, and now the king turns to him and asks, "How about you? Do you have any ideas? What do you suggest?" "Well," came the reply, "I think that we should send messengers out at night into the fields and tell some shepherds about it." Now, if you look at this on this face value, it seems like a ridiculous idea, right? But yet that's God's way of announcing the birth of his son, Jesus. See, our ways are not God's ways. And there's a reason why God does everything. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Before we do, let's go ahead and read chapter 2, verse 8 through 15. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Now let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Brother Terry, would you ask the blessing upon us for this morning?
Father, we just come before you. We thank you for the word that is being shared today of truth and of our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that during this Christmas season, we remember that love, faith, and hope exist, but the greatest of these is love. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, ever since I heard this story, even since I was a little kid, because when I was a little kid, we had the Christmas story told to us in school. You can't help but think about this time when these shepherds are visiting this little baby in this manger, knowing it's the Christ child, without feeling a little warm inside. You know, it just makes you feel good. There's something about it, you know? But the thing that I want to point out this morning is that these shepherds, in the world's eye, particularly the time that they lived, were not very important. They were not very significant to the culture of the time. But what we see here is that they are very important to God. Shepherds, again, were not held in very high esteem for several reasons. Here these sheep herders received the angelic announcement, and they were not necessarily tender-hearted or anything like that, or clean-cut altar boys, as a lot of people think that they were. Some of these guys were rough. They were social outcasts, you might say. They were loners. And they just didn't fit into the culture. They were always traveling, moving with their sheep. Didn't have much of a home life if they had any at all. But they also had a reputation, whether fair or not, of being dishonest, thieves. They're thought to be they're shady characters, untrustworthy. They lived with sheep, and they probably most certainly smelled like sheep. They were uneducated, unsophisticated men, according to the cultural standards of the day. But most of all, they were religiously unclean. In Jewish tradition, to fully participate in the religion, you had to undergo certain rituals and attend certain festivals and services to be considered clean, acceptable to God? Well, because the shepherd's work schedule and the constant migration that they had, that they couldn't attend all the regular services and perform the necessary rituals of purification. And so when they showed their faces at the temple, they always got the looks, you know. You know the looks I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that do that today, unfortunately. You don't belong here. What's your kind doing in this church? Isn't that sad? You need to clean up or else God doesn't accept you. When are you going to make something of yourself? It's very sad, folks. But again, I believe that God not only appeared to them because of who they were and their station of life, because His desire is to lift up the very lowly to a place where they can have reconciliation with God. And it doesn't matter who you are. Jesus wants to set you free. But I want to get back to original thought. And consider this too. When Princess Diana and Prince William, or I'm sorry, Princess Diana and Mary, I forget his name.
Charles.
Well, they had William and Harry right off the bat. And I don't know whether they sent out birth announcements or anything like that, but you can imagine that there was a lot of talk about who to send announcements to, you know, different heads of states, political players, you know, those who were of royal blood and what have you, presidents, senators, governors, and so on. Well, the announcements most certainly would not have been sent out to carnival workers or to truck drivers. So again, herein lies the twist here with God's birth announcement. Because here in Bethlehem is born King of all kings.
Amen.
The Lord of all lords. God visiting our planet this once and once only in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. The only Son of God. No other verse would come, you see, like this. His only begotten Son. This was the biggest event in human history. Bar none. And the mayor of Bethlehem, he doesn't get an announcement. O King Herod, the high priest, Caesar and his royal court, you might say, they didn't get a royal announcement. None of the officials or the power elite got an announcement. The palace didn't hear, the temple didn't hear, Jerusalem didn't hear, but the birth announcement came to a group of sheep herders outside of Bethlehem. Again, why these sheep herders? Why not somebody who's more noble to be a recipient an announcement? Again, I believe it is because not only that Jesus has these shepherds to provide for us a glimpse into the nature of Jesus' ministry as the good shepherd, God intentionally seeks out and uses these people consistently. And the reason why is because he's looking out for those who are overlooked, disregarded, and even counted out. And I think the reason why he does this, it should be clear to us if we read the Old Testament scriptures. As in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You see, he looks at all mankind like we are sheep. You know, one thing about sheep, we talked about this before. They're not very smart animals, are they? They easily go astray. They get themselves in trouble constantly. But here we see that God uses these shepherds to illustrate the point that not only were they lowly, where they were counted out, but they are a picture, I believe, of who you and I are to be. You see, we are to help shepherd people, to lead people to the Lord. Because at one time we were counted out, amen? As Gentiles especially. The Bible says, when we were without hope, he came and he gave his life for us, that we could be part of the household of God. Many great leaders in Israel's history had a connection with shepherding. And I believe that, again, it all spoke of what Jesus was going to do, because he is the ultimate shepherd. Even in Jesus' own lineage, we find that David was a shepherd, shepherd king. He shepherded Israel. He shepherded the sheep before that. Moses, again, greatest prophet ever. Jesus said, of all the prophets, you know, Moses, he's it. And then there was going right back to the very beginning with Abel. The first worshiper after the fall was a shepherd. Again, speaking of Christ. And we find in Exodus chapter 3 that Moses was called while shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he rose from shepherding those sheep to shepherding the children of Israel, which is a picture and a type of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus not only will ultimately shepherd his people Israel, but the church also. Jesus had some interesting words that I think is important for all of us as believers to pay attention to. In John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And other sheep, listen, he says, other sheep, and again he's speaking to the house of Israel. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them I must bring, that they may hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Well, the other sheep is the church. It's the church. Bring us one together with him to follow the one true shepherd. History tells us that many of the sheep that were raised on these hills of Jerusalem and Bethlehem were raised specifically for a purpose. And that purpose was the sacrifices that were made in the temple at Jerusalem. Every year a Jewish family was supposed to come to Jerusalem, and they were to offer these sacrifices in the temple for their sins. The animal had to be without spot, without blemish, and so it had to be an animal that was cared for. And they didn't bring a sacrificial lamb from their own home, because it was probably usually for most people a long journey. They actually got them there around Jerusalem. And so we see that these shepherds would be waiting until a high priest or one of the priests would come and purchase these lambs to take to the temple to be purchased. And they knew that they were going to be sacrificed. They knew there was a great price that had to be paid. I have to think that these shepherds probably got a little attached to these lambs, don't you? And so there's a picture here, because these shepherds knew about sacrifice. They spent their time all around these lambs, but they knew that something had to die to substitute for their sins. And so, watching these lambs grow into maturity, they must have realized, when they saw the Lamb of God to come, who came to take away the sins of the world, that he was the ultimate lamb. Amen? I believe they realized the awfulness of sin. And they knew that God required, according to Scripture, the shedding of blood. So how appropriate that these shepherds should be the first to hear about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So they were ready for that. Their minds were uncomplicated, and they weren't theologians or anything like that. You don't have to be a theologian to get saved. You just have to believe in Jesus and him crucified. Amen. And they didn't think about reasons not to believe. They just believed. Their hearts and souls were ready. And God just spoke to the angels, and they listened, and they believed, and they went away with great joy. Now, at the same time this story took place, there was another story taking place. In Matthew 2, verse 1 through 12, it says, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, And when you have found him, bring him word back to me, that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Now, this, I don't know how long this was, probably after he's a little bit, you know, he's a toddler or something, that this all took place. But these wise men, they also were prepared. Evidently, they had studied the great prophets of Israel. Undoubtedly, they did, because they come from an area where Daniel the prophet had a great influence and power. They were from the Babylonian area. And, of course, that was where the children of Israel were taken captive. And Daniel, of course, being well-known, a man full of knowledge and faith, was very influential. And they could have even had knowledge that some of the prophecies of Daniel, you know, that we don't even hear about those in the Bible, things that we're not even aware of, they could have known. But somehow they were waiting and they were hoping, because of the things that they had heard and the prophecies that they had heard and seen. And so they recalled all these things that they had learned, and they decided they're going to make this journey to worship the great king. Again, they were prepared. Then you've got this wicked King Herod, who wasn't ready, you see. You ever wondered why Herod didn't see the star? Wasn't it bright enough for him to see? If it was bright enough for the wise men to see, why wasn't it bright enough for him to see? Far enough for him to see, for them to see in a far country, and yet right there in his own land he can't see it? Why didn't Herod hear the announcement of the angels? Why didn't he see the heavens light up with the first Christmas night, you know, as the heavenly host made that declaration? He could have seen if he wanted to have eyes to see and ears to hear. But the problem is he didn't. First Christmas came to Herod as surely as it did to the wise men and to the shepherds. But he was not prepared. And the reason he wasn't prepared is he was not looking. At least he was not looking for the right reasons. You see, if we ignore what God has done through prophecy and through his son, Jesus Christ, then Christmas will come on December 25th, as it always does. But it will mean nothing to us because our hearts are cold and insensitive to what God is trying to do in our lives, just as it was with Herod's. Christmas is almost here. The question I want to put before you, are you prepared? Is your heart sensitive to this Christ child? Can you hear what God is trying to tell you, that he loves you? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the wise men and the shepherd, they were willing to take a journey of faith to see Jesus. Both of them. I love the words of the shepherds. Shortly after the angels went back to heaven, they said to one another, the shepherds, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Notice that they didn't say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see if this is really true." It was a heart of faith. They believed. They didn't question the message. They didn't question the announcement of the angels. They simply believed. They didn't sit around trying to discuss all the impossibilities, how this is just impossible, humanly speaking. They just rushed to Bethlehem to see the baby. And like I said, it took faith to do this. Now, why did it take faith to do this? Well, because, you know, they were having to leave their sheep. And in the middle of the night, this is when wolves are active. It took faith. God had put them in your hands. I'm going. What about the wise men? Put yourself in their place. Can you see them standing out in their front yards before they're getting ready to go, and they're getting their camels are all ready for this long journey? And all of a sudden, some neighbor comes up and walks up to them and asks, "Well, where are you going? What are you doing?" "Well, we're getting ready for a trip." "Well, where are you going?" "Well, we're not sure." "Do you have a map?" "We're going to follow a star." Oh, well, what are you going to find when you get there? Well, we're going to find a king. Do you know his name? No, we don't know. All we know is that this star is going to lead us to him. And we're going there and we're going to worship him. You know, they would have probably been laughed to scorn. You know, and yet they stepped out anyway and they went. When you step out to worship Jesus, when you step out to come to Jesus, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the world laughs you to scorn. You know? It's a journey of faith. It's a journey of faith. You're going to see the King. And it can only be explained by somebody who has a heart of faith. It can be seen by somebody who has that kind of a heart. But again, when you think about Herod, all you see is darkness. You see hatred. You see death. Matter of fact, his heart was so cold. The things that he did after the wise men left. He demanded this in Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth to put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, and 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Put to death these children. God is not about death. There are a lot of religions in the world today that are about death. And it tells you their origin. But God is about life. You see, there was no faith in Herod. The wise men told him of this new king. He pretended to be interested. See, there's a difference. God knows that there's a difference between those who truly believe and those who are in pretense. You see, his heart was not on the king. His eyes were on keeping his throne. And folks, if you don't get anything else from this message today, get this. That is the very same problem with people today, why they cannot see Jesus and why they do not step out in that faith journey, is because they still want to keep the throne of their life. They want to rule their own life. Before Christmas will ever really truly be real to us, we must journey that journey of faith to Christ. Yeah. And there's a price to pay for stepping out in that faith, like I said. The shepherds made it, and the wise men both made it. And you and I will too. You're going to be mocked and made fun of by the world. But that's okay. Think about the peace and the joy that they experienced afterwards. Amen?
Amen.
See Herod, he runs around his throne, grabbing a hold of it, desiring to hold on to his silver and gold, his power and his prestige. And ultimately, what happens? He'll end up losing it all. The Bible says if we choose to lose our life, we'll gain it. But if we keep our life, we'll ultimately lose it. So really, when you think about Christmas, what it really means is surrender. Surrender. Ultimately, God himself set the example for us. The sovereign God of heaven looked down at us and he saw us dying in our sins and he said, I can't let this go on anymore. I have to do something about it. And so he surrendered his glory and his power and became a baby. And he walked among us. He allowed us to persecute him and to spit upon him and drive nails into his hands and feet. Folks, that is surrender. Total surrender. Christmas means giving. Giving of yourself. Because that's what God did with his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? It's not just wrapping up some brightly colored gift and giving to someone that you love. It's giving of yourself. So many ways that people could be giving. Because when you give up yourself, you are more likely to be giving Jesus. Because that's what he wants. He wants his life to be reflected in you towards others. So the question is, where are you? Some of us may be like the shepherds. You know, we don't have much. We may not know a whole lot. At least we don't know a whole lot as what the world considers important anyway. But we're here to listen to what God has to say. Others may be like the wise men, searching for the truth and knowing and asking questions, knowing that His promise is true, His promise that if we will search for Him with all of our hearts, that we'll find Him. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are like Herod, who are very antagonistic toward God, who hate Him rather than love Him. And they will not receive what God so desperately wants to give them. He wants to give them peace with Him, ultimately. Remember what the angels said. They said that very thing, you know, in Luke 2 and 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. John in John chapter 14, verse 27 said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither be afraid." And so I encourage you folks that if you're here today and you haven't taken that faith journey to meet the King, you need to do so. Everything else needs to become secondary. He has to be your primary focus. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, wrote these well-known words. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That's why God sent His Son, to reconcile this world to Himself. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and not imputing their trespasses to them. You think about the shepherds, like I said, they were a rough bunch. God didn't impute that to them. They simply believed. "And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." I'd like to share some of the thoughts that Tony Evans, his illustrations are very good. But he shared this. He said, "One year Christmas, my wife wanted some wrapped boxes to use for decorations. She took 8 empty boxes and had them wrapped to use as a decoration at our front door. Those boxes sat in the front of our house, impeccably wrapped, topped with bows, and empty. Don't worry at all about the thief coming and stealing any of those wrapped boxes on the outside of our house, because there's not anything in there. A lot of folks are well wrapped, but there's nothing going on the inside. Unfortunately today, many people don't want to be truly blessed. They just want to be well wrapped. True, authentic Christian living starts on the inside, and the evidence of that life works its way out." See, here's the point. Is what is in you real? Amen. It's going to find its way to the outside. Amen. And I encourage you again, if you're here today and you've not made that faith journey to Jesus, to see the King, you can. He's just waiting, and He's waiting with open arms. And I would say, why tarry? Why tarry? So if you're here this morning and you want to know Jesus and you haven't made a confession of faith, would you be willing to lift your hands right now? Anybody at all?